Don't miss a minute of Ruined Dits for Breakfast on our podcast. Thanks to Distinctive Home, the biggest single-story display home in South Australia. DistinctiveHomes.com.au. Ruined Dits for Breakfast.
Distinctive Homes. Perfect for your lifestyle. Our house, your home. Let's
talk about Tex.
It's Tex Walker, Crows captain.
All right, just let's see how he's woken up this morning after the Brownlow. Good morning, Tex.
Good morning, boys. How are you?
Yeah, hey, Tex. Good. Sound a little bit sheepish.
Oh, a little bit rusty.
12-ish.
What's that?
12-ish.
12-ish what?
Get to bed.
Oh, I don't even know what time we ended up coming
in. I'd say it was ish. Yeah.
That's what Blighty used to tell us, to get home at 12-ish, but the ish bit could go for several hours. Mm. Tex, you can use that one. Hey, You're not meant to perv on your missus sort of like that. I know you're allowed to, but you got caught.
Mm. Well, she's mine. I can have a look at her any way I want.
I know, but you certainly did that a couple of times. Jeez. You went back for seconds.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I did get caught, didn't I?
Now, just so you know, the video is on Triple M Facebook and Instagram if people want to check it out. But
you've chucked it up there, have you?
No, we didn't. Someone did. Whoever took the video. Someone's done it.
We're not the ones who were doing the looking, mate. Don't shoot the
messenger.
Cameraman.
Oh, I don't know. I didn't get caught. I had a good look, so you always go back to seconds, don't you?
Yeah, I suppose.
Pregnancy treating her well, Tex?
Yeah, she's going really well. Just laying next to her at the moment, she's going really well. And what are we? It's nearly 16 weeks, so I'm fine.
Mm. Mm. Now, last night at the Brownlow, we got the right winner, do you think?
Yeah, I certainly think that Tom Mitchell was the best player this year. And I thought the two ruckmen from Melbourne and Collingwood would have polled a little bit more. But
they got ones and twos instead of threes, Tex. They polled in, Grundy polled in 10 games, which is a good effort, but just got lots of ones and twos.
Yeah, and for Max Gawn, I think Angus Brayshaw would have stole a lot of votes off him. It was a bit of a surprise packet coming. I think he finished third.
Yeah, he did.
And obviously still Sidebottom had an outstanding year as well. So I think all in all, they got it pretty right.
Who had an outstanding night at the after party? Give us a 1, 2, and three from the after party, big fella.
Well, Paul Siegman, he was on debut last night, and I reckon he got 3 votes on debut.
Did he really?
He was outstanding. Old young Charlie Kernow from Carlton. He probably wouldn't remember much this morning. and who else was there?
How did Leedy go after getting all those votes? He would have been up and about.
We'll skip Leedy. We'll skip Leedy because we didn't see him at Club 23.
Oh, he went straight home, did he?
Unfortunately, we didn't see him at Club 23. And young Tommy Papley from Sydney, he was running around like a cat on a hot tin roof.
Right. Okay. All right. Well, there's our top three.
Can I just tell you about Paul Siegman too? You might want to talk to him about his golf. At Aston Hills Golf Course last week, he drove the 18th green.
How far is it?
Oh, it's a long hit.
What, and 300
of course,
plus?
He's the old, I play off, 18 or 20, something like that.
Yeah.
And he's driven the green. Like, he's taken everyone's money up there.
Burglar.
Apparently. Yeah.
So just he needs to play golf. He needs to play golf in a balaclava.
He's a burglar.
He's a burglar. I played with him at Cooyonga not long ago.
At Cooyonga. He was playing off
at Cooyonga. Cooey. And he was playing off 16, and I think he hit 38 points.
Yeah, he's
cheap.
Yeah. Hey, Tex, your great mate Brad Crouch, a bit of news that Richmond are hunting him. Is that a bit of garbage?
People are trying to get a story, I'd say. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. I mean, have you asked Brad?
Yeah, he's all right.
What did he say?
What do you reckon he would say?
Oh, probably. Oh, go and get.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah. All right, we'll go and have another little Bo Peep, Tex, and we'll catch you back in town.
Oh, I will. Nellie's smiling, but he's going to get another cuddle.
Hey, come on, you'll get a late checkout
come on,
charge
this is live
if you
radio,
keep staying in bed. Gee,
I was going to say, get a room, you two, but you have.
Yeah.
Righto, Tex, thanks for joining us.
Thanks, boys.
See you, Tex.
Tex Walker. And once again, if you want to check this out, Triple M Facebook, Triple M Instagram, whatever they are, the video's up on there, all right?
Yep, can have a look.
It's very funny. 104.7 Adelaide's Triple M Ruined It's for Breakfast. Roo, good mate of ours, Steve Krause, has come in to say g'day. And you remember a year ago, we talked about his little girl, Ivy, and we promoted the Cotton Ball, which took place.
I reckon we've done it for a couple of years.
Yeah,
now,
well, the Cotton Ball's back and bigger than ever this November. Let's welcome Steve. How are you, mate?
Cheers, boys. Thank you.
When is the Cotton Ball, by the
way? Well, we've changed the name. It's now the Little Wings Ball.
The Little Wings Ball.
Okay. Yeah, we had to change the name for a few little reasons, but it's the Little Wings Ball in November, the 17th, to raise money for the Little Heroes Foundation.
Good stuff. So where's it going to be this year, and how do people get involved, Steve?
So it's at the convention centre.
Yep.
And to get tickets, just go to littlewingsball.com.au.
Littlewingsball.com.au.
Now, Steve, I just want to refresh people's memories, or those that didn't get to hear it. But last year we met Ivy. Ivy came into the studio with us. The video we put on our website, we had, honestly, everyone in our building was reduced to tears. We were in the meeting as well. We met you and we met Ivy. It's one of the most touching things I've ever seen. Just please explain the condition to us again.
So Ivy's got a disease called epidermolysis bullosa, which means she's got really fragile skin. It means that everyone has three layers of skin, and in between each layer, our body produces a glue. Ivy doesn't produce that glue, so her skin comes off very, very easily. It blisters really easily as well. It's internal as well, so she's fed through a little peg in her tummy. She's actually lost her hands and her feet as well.
But tell everyone what you have to do every day just to try and,
she's bandaged.
The function, yeah.
She's bandaged everywhere,
head to toe, everywhere she is, just to keep her skin from being affected. She gets infections really easily, and that's why she's recently been in hospital for 10 weeks.
The one thing that really shocked us, and we saw the video of Ivy having a bath, for example, so it's like red raw skin and hot water touching that all the time. The poor little girl, she's in pain, she's screaming.
I often tell people is, remember, if you put a new pair of shoes on, you get a little blister in your heel and it hurts when you have a shower. Mm. Well, she's having that 10 times worse, but all over.
Yeah,
it's horrendous. So a bath takes 2 to 3 hours, and it's quite a traumatic experience for everyone.
And you have help with that, don't you?
We do.
You have a nurse come in and...
Yeah, we do. And that's where the Little Heroes Foundation have been so fantastic. They've actually come in, they've provided a nurse to help us out at those baths, and it's been brilliant.
Roo, just speaking of the emotion of it, your beautiful wife Hannah spoke at the ball last year, made a speech, and honestly, I've never seen a reaction. There were about 800 people there, I think.
It was a big ball.
And the reaction and the way Hannah spoke, it was just beautiful. It was magnificent. Mm. Tell us what happened yesterday. What a big, exciting thrill for little Ivy.
Yeah, it's been amazing. So as I just touched on, she's been in hospital for the last 10 weeks with a really bad infection. The infection was so bad it almost got her. She's pulled through really well. The doctors at the hospital have been absolutely brilliant at the women's and children's. But through a mutual friend, she got to FaceTime the full Wiggles while she was in hospital.
You're kidding.
And they were at a rehearsal and they spent quite a bit of time. Anyway, Lockie, the purple Wiggle, was quite affected by Ivy and they built a bit of a relationship over FaceTime. And anyway, yesterday flew all the way down from Sydney and knocked on our door and
You're
spent
joking.
4 hours sitting on our lounge with his little piano, singing songs and just having a chat to her, which was amazing.
Purple Wiggle, come to your house.
That's incredible.
And he rocked up in full costume. He's walking down our street and turned a few heads, I must say.
Yeah.
What a brilliant bloke to do that.
What did it do for Ivy, do you see?
Lifted her spirits like you wouldn't believe. Like this morning, she hasn't stopped talking about it. It's just been, such a great thing to do.
How good is that? Now, how old is Ivy now?
Ivy's 11.
11.
Yeah.
Well, on a daily basis, she still goes through a very tough time. Well done for the work you're doing. I know you're her dad, but you and your wife do a heck of a lot of work for this. Now, I think you've already sold about 550 tickets.
That's right.
And that's without even trying. So this is going to be a big, big night.
Just give that website again, will you, Steve, so people can get tickets. November 17 at the Convention Centre.
Yeah,
and the website is?
Yep. littlewingsball.com.au.
Funny, we're just talking about the Brownlow and Tom Mitchell last night when he was awarded. Probably dreamt about this a kid. It was the most special occasion ever, the highlight of his career. Let's have a listen to how it unfolded last night.
Thanks so much for the opportunity you've given me. Clarko seems pretty interested.
So what happened, for those that didn't see it, Roo?
Yeah, so he's up there just starting his speech, and his coach, one of the best coaches, if not the best coach ever, Alistair Clarkson, was slumped in his chair. I'm not sure if he was just giving his eyelids a rest or if he'd actually fallen to sleep or not. But when he realised people were laughing, like you heard there in that grab, he sort of woke up and he was very, very sheepish. He knew he'd been caught big time. So when have you fallen asleep? God, there's been some... We used to have Monday meetings at footy. You have your reviews and they could go on for a couple of hours. They could be quite brutal. And, you know, players always panic about how you're perceived or, you know, are you interested? Are you sitting up straight and making sure you look focused with some of your coaches? Billy Sanders, our CEO, he used to fall to sleep just about every second one he'd come into. Shocking look. We'd be sitting on the front, we're looking over, oh, Billy's gone again. So you didn't know whether to nudge him and wake him up or just let him sleep. And I'm sure the coach had seen it plenty of times. But
fancy falling asleep on the job.
Yeah, well, Clive Palmer used to do it
I think a lot of them do. A lot of them heavier. Nod off.
Yeah. And you probably wouldn't mind a sleep, and that'd be enough to put you off to sleep.
I know. If you can never sleep, just watch Question Time on TV.
Or Triple M.
That does the job.
Because you fall to sleep about 8 o'clock most days.
Yeah. But sometimes I just don't find you that interesting, that's all. I just
that's not very nice.
Sorry. I was only kidding.
Yeah. When have people out there fallen asleep?
Well, what about, I told you, my cab driver.
What about your cab driver?
One morning, my car had a sleepover in town, so I got a cab down here to work. So it's 4:30 in the morning coming down the freeway.
Yeah.
And maybe I wasn't that interesting because I'm chatting away to the cab driver and he turns out he's from Pakistan. I go, oh, I've been to Pakistan. I'm telling him, my life story.
Yeah.
And he's nodded off. We're going 110 down the road. I had to punch him.
When he was driving, when you're going along.
Yes. So I'd punched him in the chest. I said, hey, mate. And he bounced up. He goes, oh, sorry, sir. And... I just had to watch him. I said, pull over.
You weren't talking
about it. He goes, no, I'll be fine. I'll be fine. I said, no, pull over, mate. And anyway, we kept going and I got here, but bloody hell, that was frightening.
Coming down the freeway at 100. Jesus. That's unbelievable. 133353. When have you fallen asleep or when is it one of your mates or whoever? Or, gee, there'd be some horror stories driving. If you had a little nap and you've woken up and you're off the road or drifting across, all that sort of stuff. We've got a double to go to the 2018 Carlton Draft Murray Bridge Gold Cup. This is in the marquee. This is absolutely...
Hospitality.
Hospitality, a random prize to that. So book now tickets online for the Murray Bridge Gold Cup. Give us a call. When have you fallen asleep?
Thanks so much for the opportunity you've given me. Clarko seems pretty interested.
That was Clarko falling asleep when Tom Mitchell won the Brownlow last night. Let's go to Two Wells. G'day, Devon. When have you fallen asleep?
So back in the early days when we were building the Adelaide Oval, I was a part of the safety committee.
Safety?
And, safety committee was a very dry subject back then. And, I fell asleep next to the actual the head boulderstone guy.
So you were pretty switched on in the safety meeting.
Apparently I was snoring. But I could hear him talking though, so it was kind of weird.
At least you're snoring, no one else would have fallen asleep.
It wasn't as funny as that it should have been. I've basically got reamed big time for that.
Yeah. Do we need to go back and check the safety at the Adelaide Oval or what?
No, not really. Right. Maybe some of the building of it.
Right, that's refreshing.
Well done, Devin. Good stuff.
All right, more calls in just a moment.
133353. When have you fallen asleep? We got tickets to go to the Murray Bridge Gold Cup.
Where have you fallen asleep and you weren't meant to?
Yeah, let's go to Murray Bridge. G'day, Rob.
Yeah, g'day, mate. How are you?
Good, mate. When are you falling asleep?
Well, I was in a pack of about 20 Harleys coming back across the Hay Plains, I was out front. And I fell asleep on the Harley.
Oh, no. Would you have anyone? Were you dinking anyone? Or?
No, I was by myself. And they knew I'd fallen asleep because I took off, accelerated.
Because you fall backwards a bit.
You just roll on the throttle.
So how did that end up?
Yeah, well, they chased me and beat the horns and I woke up. But when I woke up, I was just about to run off the road. And on the Hay Plains, there's a property there with gates, and it says Pell's Gate.
Oh, it happened before, has it?
It's a true story. There's a property there called Hell's Gate. I woke up running off the road, and I looked over and I saw Hell's Gates.
Gee whiz. All right. It, good story,
like,
Rob.
Sounds like a lucky escape
to
me.
Yeah, let's go to Woodcroft. G'day, Daz.
Hey, boys. How you going?
When have you fallen asleep?
In my younger days as an apprentice, I got into work a bit shabby and I had to stand a bit of Moranti, about 200 mil wide, 50 mil thick.
A big piece of wood.
Big piece of wood. Next minute, the foreman's giving me a nudge and telling me, hey, you fell asleep. I said, no, I didn't. Yes, you did. I said, no, I didn't. He said, look at the timber. I sanded a cup of a cup in the timber about 20 mil deep, I reckon.
Oh, that's part of being an apprentice.
Couldn't get out of it.
That's how you learn.
He would have been proud.
Good on you, Daz.
At least you got to work, Daz. Let's go to St. Mary's. G'day, John.
How you going, mate?
When are you falling asleep, John?
Not me. A guy I used to work with, we used to run B-doubles up to Monado, the old DC plant up there. And
big trucks?
Yeah, the big trucks. And we get up there and he had to wait for me and the other bloke to get our trailers off dock. And he's just gone on the side and put his feet up on the dash. And as we're leaving, my mate goes, oh, should we wake him up? I said, nah, he'll be right. So we got all the way back down to town at Gilman, spot trailers. Went all the way back up there, and lo and behold, he's still in the same spot, snoring his ass off.
So he's really out of it. Good on you, John. Let's go to Goodwood. G'day, Alan.
Morning, guys. How are you?
One of you had a little snooze, Alan.
I haven't. It was a mate of mine back in the mid-'80s when we were young whippersnappers. We used to have a little apartment in the city, and our time management skills weren't so great. So
an
we got
apartment
up
in the city in the 80s? Oh, that would have been...
Yeah, it was pretty groovy. We used to rush to the toilet and shower and go to work, and I had a mate who'd always fall asleep on the toilet. So I'd be standing outside the door waiting to get in, and this guy would be snoring his head off, towel over his head for some reason, in the starkers. Most mornings, I'd have to get him up, get him off the toilet and get in the shower.
There's plenty of publicans that have locked the pub up and realised there's someone asleep on the toilet in, without checking. Thanks, Alan. Let's go to Windvale. G'day, Chris.
How you going, boys?
When have you fallen asleep?
Yeah, I'm not real proud of this one. My wife has been induced and I was in the hospital room next to her and was late at night and I... So I had a bit of a sneeze while she went into full-blown labour.
Very, very easy to do, Chris.
I think
very easy to do.
Guilty of that one too, Chris. I think we've seen photos of it.
Sometimes they just take too long, Chris, don't they? They don't think of us husbands. What about Paul from Glenelg East? When have you fallen asleep?
Yeah, well, g'day, Roo.
Hey, Paul.
I used to work for ETSA in the old days, and we used to have cable faults quite regularly. And we'd be on a cable pull all hours in the morning and night.
What's a cable and call?
A cable pull.
Yeah, cable pull.
When you had to pull high voltage cable lines into the underneath the city.
Oh, yeah.
In cable ducts. And I was working about 24 hours straight this day, and I fell asleep against the ladder during the cable pull.
On the ladder? What was it? You were up high or what?
Down in the cable pit.
Down below.
Well, that'd be
nice
understandable.
And dark.
Yeah.
Well, it was comfy.
Comfy. All right. Good on your phone.
No one will bother you down there, either.
No. Oh, good stuff.
Roo ScoMo's been on the job, what, about a month or so?
Yeah, not long.
And he hasn't ruffled too many feathers. He seems to be pretty popular in the polls, he is, and he seems to be doing a fair job.
Giving Bill Shorten a bit of a hiding on the one-on-ones.
But he's about to rock the boat, or he already has. So let's go back to last year. There were two councillors in Victoria that came up with the idea of changing Australia Day and changing the celebrations, changing the name of it, the date of it, because it offends our Indigenous community.
Yep.
Malcolm Turnbull.
Invasion Day.
Yeah. Malcolm Turnbull knocked it on the head and said, well, that won't be happening. Now, yesterday, a council in New South Wales called the Byron Shire Council, it must be up near Byron Bay, I presume, they've come out and said similar things, right? They want to change all of it. Scott Morrison has, on one hand, come out and said, I'm not against creating a day for our Indigenous Australians. However, Australia Day will remain. Right?
On January the 26th.
So in other words, what he's pushing for, I think, are two separate days. But what about some of the language he's used here, right? Indulgent self-loathing doesn't make Australia stronger. Being honest about the past does. Now, so, what does he mean there?
Well, he's having a crack at people who are trying to grandstand and make a bit of a big deal about maybe themselves, I guess. Is that what that means when he's saying that? But... So he's saying it's important to recognise the past and be honest with it. And that's, I guess, sort of trying to combine what the current Australia Day is with the, you know, the fact that they don't feel right on that day. They look at it as Invasion Day, but he's saying it's important to be honest. But he's also saying, well, let's have another day where Indigenous people can feel comfortable as well about celebrating Australia, as in, you know, Australia for a longer period of time. Because Australia Day is really probably for more the settlers, isn't it, really?
Yeah. But is he suggesting that when he says, how about you be honest about the past, what is he saying, that the Indigenous people have fabricated some of the stories that we hear? What's he trying to say?
I don't think he's saying that. I just think he's wanting them to get over it, it sounds like, and just enjoy the day for everything, which if it's too hard for them to get over it, they don't have to get over it, I suppose, do they? It's hard at all. And that's why I've always had the opinion that I actually can see the merit in changing Australia Day. Why don't we? And this is what he's trying to say as well, even though I don't think he put it across, or this article's put it across too well. We actually all surely want a day that makes everyone happy. Yeah. And unite each other. Mm. I hate the fact that when we have so many discussions, whether it's on social media or whatever now, or when Adam Goods tried to stick up for the Indigenous people, it actually divided the nation more than ever. Mm. Whereas, say, when Eddie Betts has been racially vilified, he's actually brought people together by the way he's handled it. He's brought in the way he's done it. And we need to unite us more than divide us at the moment. So I'm actually up for grabs for if the Indigenous people can come up for a day that actually works for everyone. To me,
we should listen. I would.
Yeah. I'd absolutely, because I get sick of talking about it every Australia Day.
Mm. What do you think about this? 133353. The way ScoMo's talking, we'll have two separate days. And that seems a bit ridiculous.
But doesn't that divide us again? I know the 26th of January is a special day for, you know, as he called it, New Australia. But I don't know if we need two.
Nah.
A lot of people would love two public holidays, but I don't think that's the idea of having two special days.
You are spot on. It'll divide us more. Surely we need to get together and have one day. What do you think? 133353, ruined it's on Triple M. ScoMo, the new PM, has suggested having a separate day for our Indigenous community so that we celebrate Australia Day and then they have their own day. What do you think?
Let's go to Aberfoyle Park. What do you think, Mark?
Yeah, g'day, lads. How you doing?
Good, thanks. What do you think?
Well, it's like this. We want one Australia. We want white and Indigenous Aboriginals to live together, but when we go and fill out forms at the doctor or the hospital or anywhere like that, you tick Torres Strait Islander or Aboriginal, which separates people straight away. We're all Australian, white, black, doesn't really matter. We should get together, make one day, but agree on it and be all Australians.
Yeah, there might be a reason why you have to say where you're from at those sort of places. I don't know, but I agree with the Australia Day thing.
Yeah. All right, more calls. 133353. Ruined it's on Triple M. 729. ScoMo's pushing for, well, I don't know if he's pushing for it. He has suggested that he would look at a separate day for our Indigenous people so that they don't have to celebrate Australia Day on January 26th.
Yeah, I think he's trying to do the right thing, but let's see what our listeners think. Let's go to Flagstaff Hill. G'day, Sash.
Yeah, g'day, fellas. Look, I have to say the idea is growing on me. I do kind of like it. I think I can see where he's coming from. He's trying to sort of, please or appease people who are, trying to do their best to divide us to make us feel like, invaders on Australia Day, whatever the hell that means. Mm. I think it's a good idea if it was attempted.
So you want 2 days, do you? You want a day for the Indigenous definitely. And a day for that's just currently Australia Day. You happy with that?
Yeah, absolutely. Keep Australia Day as it is January 26th and maybe try something else as well. I think, if we sort of give in to these, as I call them, loony left people, if we get rid of Australia Day, what comes next? And they're already starting to attack things like Anzac Day, for example, and
good luck with that one. All right, now we get your point. Thanks, Sash. Good on you, mate. Let's go to Modbury Heights. Hello, Jody.
Morning.
What would you like to say?
I've just got a couple of things to say. First thing I wanted to say was that the idea of having two Australia Days is just really ridiculous to me. That defeats the whole purpose of celebrating what makes Australia great, and that's inclusion and yep. all those other things.
Yep.
My second point is that the day itself represents the day basically that lots of Aboriginal people were murdered, women were raped, and then we're saying, come and celebrate it with us. Like, it just, I don't know, I think it definitely needs to be shifted. That's just my opinion.
All right. No, thanks, Jody. Thanks for calling in.
Let's go to Salisbury. G'day, Andy.
G'day, mate. How are you?
Good, Andy.
My opinion is keep Australia Day as it is. It's for all Australians. It's not to individualise each culture from other cultures. It's definitely is part of our history. You need to stand strong on it and move forward and stay with Australia Day. I think if we start, I think what the PM's saying is if we sweep all our history away and forget about it, nobody's ever going to know about it. You know,
Do you think it's possible for the Indigenous to celebrate a day for reasons of what Jody just mentioned about? Is that the tricky bit here, even though it is an important part of our history?
It's hard to comment on that. Look, I think Australia, as I said, Australia Day is for all cultures, not just individualising each culture. If they segregate a day for Aboriginals, then it's sort of like saying you have an Aboriginal day, we'll have a White Australia Day, and it's segregating the two cultures, mate. That's my opinion.
Yeah, no,
and it's caused for more racism, you know?
Yep. No, right. I agree with that part, mate. Absolutely. Thanks, Andy. Let's go to Salisbury North. G'day, Chris.
He's gone, I think.
Chris has just gone, okay.
Chris had a suggestion, May the 8th. Mate, call it Mate Day. May 8th. That was it. Oh, it's not bad.
That's all right. That's good.
Quite creative.
All right. People want one day, don't they?
Yeah, I think
so. I don't think
so.
They want two.
No.
That's too divisive.
And look, if it does upset the Indigenous community, we need to listen.
I do.
I always find if people are offended, you know, we talk about racism with all sorts of people. If something offends them, whether we're talking Indigenous people or anyone from overseas, if they say, look, that whatever you're saying offends me, you have to listen to them.
Mm.
You can't just go all bad
Serena,
luck, mate.
You don't want Serena Williams cardones anymore, or?
No, I didn't agree with that. I didn't agree with that
at
all.
Yeah, because I thought that was...
Yeah.
But anyway, you know, if it is. I'm definitely up for a discussion on the Australia Day.
Liam, how nervous would this young fella be in the build-up to Saturday's granny?
Well, it's a big game. It's a big moment, but that's when superstars rise to the occasion, Dits. And this man is a superstar, and he'd be absolutely trained to the minute. He'd be like Winks at this time of year.
Right.
Let's get him on. Strawny!
Hello. Ruined it.
How are you, Strawny? How's the preparation?
It's obviously what is a very good introduction. It's very accurate in everything you said. The fact that I'm a superstar, that I've been training to the minute, and I am actually training away from the main group. That often happens.
Whose idea was that?
That was Bucks's idea. He wanted the main group to be training at the Holden Centre and Strawny to be training back at Horsham. So,
is that to try and keep
you away from the media? Because it is like a one man circus.
Yeah, and I want to thank you guys for respecting Strawny's media ban this year. I really do. respect that.
What do you mean, media ban? What do you mean a media ban?
We had no idea there was a media ban.
You're playing, don't play the fools. You know, Strawny sent out a fax to all the major media organisations saying, I'm having a media ban, self-imposed.
Right.
You know, I need to play a game before I continue down media street.
Didn't arrive.
Hey, Strawny, has Bucks told you what role you'll be playing this week? I mean, will you try and shut down Luke Shuey? Will he, you know, play you as a smaller defender on Josh Kennedy? Or, you know, what? Or are you just going to kick a bag of goals up front as a small forward?
I've been in conversations with Bucks, and when I say conversations, I'm a millennial, so it's more like text message conversations.
Right.
I'll send Bucks some text messages, and then he sees them, because I can tell by the dots, dots come up, and then you know, that means he's read them.
Then it disappears.
It disappears. I'm pretty sure he means he's read them and he's taken them in, and what I've been suggesting is just get the goey out, like, I don't know, put him on the halfback flank or something, and just make it. Let's get back to Strawny's paddock. It's always been
Strawny's paddock.
Always been the dream. McGovern won't be able to stop me. they got Barassi or whatever. You know, obviously his granddad's was a great player, but he won't be able to go with Strawny. And that's, you know, and if I have to go to the midfield to, you know, to help them out, help Pendles and Steele, who's, you know, obviously a bit down after last night. Then I will get into Luke Shuey's head. If he's listening, Luke Pooey. I mean, they're the kind of things Strawny can get inside.
That'll throw him. Now, Roo, I'm keen to know about Strawny's preparation after listening to Tom Mitchell last night.
Oh, exactly right. Now, Strawny, just listen to this because I think you'll understand exactly how Tom Mitchell had his diet. Listen to this.
In summary, my diet wasn't too flash before I met Hannah. My pre-game routine consisted of a box of barbecue shapes, a Kit Kat, and some Starburst every night. So now on a strict salmon diet, so it's changed a little bit.
Strawny, can you give us an insight into your lifestyle? Is it similar?
Well, that's exactly the same. And I mean, Tom Mitchell, obviously, I gave him that diet. We were doing an Auskick a couple of years ago. Yeah. And I said, mate, get onto this diet. It's working a treat for Strawny.
Is that the salmon or the barbecue shapes?
No, the first one, the barbecue shapes. And he was killing it, having 40 touches each week. And then he gets his girlfriend, shuts Strawny out of the picture, gets him off it, get rid of her. Like, he's become a bit up himself, I reckon.
Yeah.
I mean, good on him for winning a Brownlow last night, but any mug can win a Brownlow. Isn't that right, Dick? We all know.
That's right.
We all know the types that can win a Brownlow.
That's right.
And it was a pretty boring Brownlow. I mean, when your coach is falling asleep during the speech,
exactly.
I mean, you've got to ask yourself questions, don't you?
What's your favourite fairy tale for this year? Is it, you know, DeGoey or Mychek or even the big American?
Can you believe an American is playing before Strawny? Strawny's been down there now for 12 years. And he waltzes into the club with this Texan strut and plays the game. So I've been on the phone with Peter Dutton. I'm pretty sure he won't be available.
You're going to deport him?
Yeah. No, Strawny's a stickler for the rules. And if you haven't got your paperwork in order, then you can't be running out.
I'm with you.
On grand final day. Yeah. I think it's Strawny. It's got to be Strawny. I'm sick of everybody going about Brody Mychek. Who cares if you're 27 and you know you played your first game this year? You know, Strawny's older than that. I won't say how old, but he's older. And, you know, my pre-season, if you had to see me, my chafing got so bad. I could barely walk. Yeah, my chafing got so bad. I could barely walk down to Ben and Jerry's. You know, I would walk down there as my pre-season, you know, get some...
What's Ben and Jerry's?
Ben and Jerry's is an ice cream parlor, and they do bloody good flavors too. Yeah. So, and I would have to put some honeycomb, you know, salted caramel on the in the store, drop trowel, and just get them on there, and I did that every day.
Now, I don't want to even talk about negatives because you've got to block them out in grand final week, Strawny. But
don't talk about it.
I have to ask, what's going to be your action if you actually don't get a game?
Oh, get it. Don't be silly, Roo.
Rein it in, Roo, for a start. I mean,
there's always someone unlucky.
This is why I sent you that fax about the media ban, these kinds of questions.
Yeah, I should have read it. I'm sorry.
Yeah, nah, it's okay.
Don't upset Strawny. I want to do Strawny. We want to interview Strawny in future.
No, I know we do. Probably on the Norm, Strawny, after the Norm Smith.
Mm. Yeah, exactly. Get on it. Yeah, I'm not sure what I'm paying, but I'm pretty short. Strawny will be supporting, you know, the boys if he doesn't play. And I've said that to the group, you know, via the text messages, and I'm pretty sure they've all read them.
So you're a team man, you're a team player.
Yeah. And, you know, somebody has suggested that I would need a lot of injuries to play. No, I don't believe that, personally.
Unfair.
So I've gotten behind the players, and I've sent them, in fact, I sent them all a hamper full of strawberries the other day. So, and I just said, just dive right in, boys.
Yeah, yeah,
Strawny, dive right in.
Strawny, we have to leave it there, mate. Yeah. It's so good of you to talk to us in such an important week, mate. Good luck, and we can't wait to see you run through that banner.
And you can't wait. You know, Jack Revolt did with the Killers last year. Imagine Strawny with Barnes at the end of the game. Yeah. Working-class Strawny.
Working-class Strawny.
Oh, there he is.
Brain Strawny.
There's only one Brian Strawn. Hey, and by the way, Ro, I want to mention his good mate, Pete Hellyer, his book, Frankie Fish and the Viking Fiasco, in all good bookstores and bad bookstores as well.
Kids love Frankie Fish.
Frankie Fish and the Viking Fiasco. Check out Pete Hellyer's book. Oh, fantastic stuff.
Good luck, Strawny.
Roo, we like to spot the odd rip-off here on our show with music. Music, you can have a bit of fun with it.
We.
All right.
You.
Now, over the years, remember we've played there's the Led Zeppelin Stairway to Heaven where they were accused of stealing a song from a band. band called Spirit. The song was called Taurus, and it sounds very similar. Men at Work, in recent years, they had Kookaburra Sits in the Old Gum Tree, and they lost the court case about the song Down Under.
Yeah.
So they were accused of it.
Yeah.
Got a couple of other ones here. This is, listen to this song by Iggy Pop. This is Lust for Life.
Yeah, I've heard that
sounds
before.
Similar. Let's hear from Jet. Are You Gonna Be My Girl?
Ooh. Oh my God, that's identical. Like... Have they been done?
Don't know, but it's been suggested. Anyway, here's a song from ZZ Top. Now, here's a song from Motorhead.
No, come on.
Yeah, at least trying to disguise it a little bit.
Have they been done as well?
Well, I think so.
Okay.
So there's there are lots of examples.
They're examples, but let's just get to the point here. You've been going on about Mike Brady.
Well, he's not accusing him of that. I'm just saying that I was dreaming in bed about a week ago, and I thought, gee, I've heard this before. Because when it comes to grand final week and grand final day, we always hear this song. It's an iconic Australian song.
Beautiful song.
Now, you'll laugh at this, but I go back to 1959 when I was a kid.
Oh, no.
Seriously.
Far out.
There's a lady called Connie Francis.
Oh, you listen to a bit of Connie, do you?
Well, I had older brothers, you know. We used to be in the bedroom and they'd put these records on.
So how did Connie come into your mind the other day?
Well, just have a listen to this song, Lipstick on Your Collar. Right. One day in September. Now, let's hear them. Eli, our sound technician here, has put the two songs together. What do you reckon? Are we on to
Mike?
Are we on to something?
Mike, you've been exposed here.
Connie Francis.
It's...
I'm not accusing him. I said it sounds similar.
No, I don't know what's worse here. Mike Brady doing that or Ditz, listening to Connie Francis, I've got lipstick on my collar.
Well, that's right. You can accuse me of that.
I reckon that's actually worse.
I just want to hear Connie one more time on her own. Just have a listen.
Ditz is listening to old music.
Anyway, just thought I'd run it by you.
That's a good one from back in 1959. You're listening to Chris Dittmar on Adelaide Hills FM.
Spinning all the discs right here. That's right. Hey, you can win $10,000 right now if you can guess the four people in Roo's Aruba. Give us a ring, 133353.
Ladies, Roo and Ditz for breakfast on Triple M.
We thought you girls were sugar and spice and all things nice.
Roo and Ditz, angels.
Good morning, angels.
See Bob Jane T Marts, the tyre and wheel specialists.
For all your tyre needs, I'll say it again. See Bob Jane T Marts, the tyre and wheel specialist. Sorry about that, Bob Jane. Good morning, angels.
Good morning, Roo and Ditz.
Now, Roo, this segment could go for an hour and a half because if anything could go by, during that song we said, did you see the red carpet last night?
Wow. Can of worms.
Did they tee off? Girls. So explain to us, what were you on as a group thing last night?
We have a group chat with a few of the girls from work, and it was going mental last night because we were just screenshotting photos on Instagram and sending them through and telling us who we thought the best dress was.
So who was it that you said, Ange, just then, she her arms are too skinny, she looks like a lollipop. Who was that?
Beck Judd.
No.
You can't say that.
No. I was only joking.
Yeah. Oh, sorry.
Who was best dressed?
Too skinny.
I had two favourites. One was, her name is Kate and she dates Dyson Heppel. She had this silver, long
nose
sleeve. Yeah.
I caught that.
I liked her because she isn't like stick thin and wearing these tight dresses. She like just looked so casual and she was cool. And my other favourite was Tom Mitchell's girlfriend, surfy looking, blonde hair.
What about her fake tan?
Tan was a bit over the top.
Bloody hell.
You guys go.
Nah, I like her. She's naturally brown, so.
Oh, come on.
Because I stalked her Instagram.
So she's naturally brown, but then she gets the spray tan.
No.
I liked her.
Bit heavy spray.
Anyone stick out for you, Ange?
I didn't really pay too much attention because I was marking Kumon sheets for my kids.
Marking what?
Kumon.
What's that?
It's like it's a special school that you go for maths and English. Not for special kids, more to enhance their kids. Yeah,
when the kids,
it's all maths.
It's called pushing.
It's like a tutoring. It's like a tutoring to get you like a couple of grades above what you are.
When you're taking them there, you go, "Come on, kids, let's just go."
They hate it.
Oh my god!
Righto, Basie, who did you like?
Hang on, but there was one. Who was the girl that really pretty pink dress.
That's Seth Vogue. That's Mark Murphy's wife.
Yeah, I'm just catching up this morning. Right. So yeah, she stood out for me.
She usually does.
Texas girlfriend. I loved what she was wearing. I thought she looked great.
Actually, yeah, she looked gorgeous.
She looked fantastic.
Actually, while we're on that, he got caught having a bit of a Bo Peep down the top of her dress a little bit, though.
There's a funny picture going around.
We've just put the video on Triple M's Instagram.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Right. She
looked gorgeous, though. Because, I mean, the boobies were out, but, she, you know, why not?
I would.
She looked gorgeous.
Well, when you're pregnant, you make the most of it, don't you?
Yeah, absolutely. I can't wait. Yeah. I want to get pregnant just so I can get canned.
Yeah.
Oh. Listen, we're talking about the brown line. Yeah.
So what about afterwards?
Joel probably does too. Don't worry. The husband's cash in too, Wag. Don't worry about that.
It's only good for 9 months, and then after that...
School reunions. Now, this affected me last weekend. So my wife went to a school reunion for, I don't know how many years it is, but whatever. And the rigmarole.
No, I don't know how long care it was. About it. That's probably half the why she does.
So I sat home all alone Friday night while she was out, and the rigmarole for her to get ready. I said, "Why is this so important?" She went and got her eyebrows done.
No, but you were worried about.
She put that much time and effort into it. I thought, "What is going on here?"
Yeah, but last time she went to the 20-year or whatever.
Yeah.
One of the guys that she used to be a bit keen on sold his business for $98 million.
Oh.
I said, she came up. I said, "How'd it go?" She goes, "Oh, well, the boy that I kissed in year 11, you know." I said, "What are you up to?" He goes, "Oh, yeah, just sold my company for $98 million. And she looked at me. I said, "Well, what?" I feel a bit inadequate now. I'm like, crying.
Yeah, but what did she say?
And she said, "Oh, I'm divorced and haven't got any children." And I said, "How about, what did you say, but I've met a great bloke.
Oh, no. Like your ditch.
So anyway, school reunions. Why do you have to be the best looking, the best dressed, the everything, Batesy?
I just feel like you need to prove that you've really, like, kept up with yourself and that you're doing so good at life.
Yeah,
like,
and you're not a loser. Oh,
it'd be a lot of pressure. Yeah,
a lot of pressure.
So what if someone does rock up and they are a bit of a loser? Do you say, "Yeah, I knew you were going to turn out that good"?
Well,
you support them and try and help them through life.
No, I don't think I'd care if what other people look like. It'd just make me probably feel a bit better.
As long as you're better than them.
Yes. Same. Yeah, you just want people to be like, "Oh, yeah, you know,
not as good
you
as
look
you.
So good for your age. You've aged well and, you know, you're happy." Yeah, you just want to be better than everyone.
Right.
You want people to go, "She's got her shit together."
Wag.
There'd be nothing more horrifying than going from, like, being quite cool in school and then you turn up to your high school reunion and all of a sudden you're the loser.
Like the movies.
What is going on,
dude? Like the high school movies.
Seriously, like, they're the people that
were
knew you in your life.
Were you cool at school or not? Were you cool at school?
I would like to say I was middle class. I wasn't the coolest or the hottest, but I probably wasn't the dorkiest either.
Right, okay. Did you get a second reunion?
Sorry?
Have you been to a school reunion?
I have. I've been to one.
How'd you go?
Yeah, it was all right. I found it interesting, but I didn't take 2 days to get ready. Went as I am.
But you would have sold yourself up. You would have been like, "Oh, like, I've been pretty good at squash and, like, I'm on the radio now and, like, all that stuff."
Nah, they all knew.
See, you can't.
No, anyway, thanks, Angels. Right. For all your tyre needs, see Bob Jane T-Marts, the tyre and wheel specialist.
Don't miss a minute of Ruin Dits for Breakfast on our podcast. Thanks to Distinctive Home, the biggest single-story display home in South Australia. Distinctivehomes.com.au.